Well, it's time to get our weekly view from the north. You and you can find his work for Comcast Sports Net. The website is csnnw.com. He's talking Ducks, Comcast Channel 737 on your Xfinity system. Follow along on Twitter. The handle is at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing quite well, considering the trade deadline was a bust. Nothing sexy happened.
By the way, over the weekend, you cracked me up. You asked one of the more socially pertinent questions on Twitter. Name a movie more unwatchable than the NBA All-Star Game. And we have gotten Exorcist 2, Howard the Duck, the last seven Police Academy movies.
And those are still not guaranteed winners for this question.
So, with all of that, Ishtar, Superman 4, is the NBA All-Star Game still winner and undisputed champ of, oh my God, we can't watch?
I think it is. Like, I think I could stomach all of those movies. They all have at least a couple of moments where you're like, oh, that was kind of funny, or that was kind of scary, or whatever. But the game itself was just completely unbearable. 190... I can't even stand. Don't you remember back in the day? You know, people our age always go back in the day, right? The '80s, early '90s were our glory years, right? And like, an All-Star game would be amazing because it might get into the high 130s, or I think there was a triple overtime or double overtime game with Blackman and Isaiah dueling that went into the 140s. I can't remember exactly, but that was like, oh my God. And now they're putting up 180, 190. It's just bad.
It's a farce. To tell you the truth.
No one even remotely tries to play defense. They literally will just stand and go, and just look at the other guy and go, oh, yeah, go ahead and dunk it. Or, oh, yeah, shoot that three. And it's bad. I don't find it entertaining at all.
Well, the odd part is the Blazers watch it, and they're like, that's not that bad defense. That's mean. Early this week, the trade between the Kings and Pelicans. DeMarcus Cousins now plays with Anthony Davis. And I saw you commented on this. I mean, there's this bunch of talk Sacramento got fleeced. And it's like, I don't think this move is going to cost them their spot in the West Finals. I mean, if you're a laughable franchise with nowhere to go, don't you kind of have to bottom out and rebuild? Isn't that better than just being ordinary or worse?
That's what I think. I mean, yes, technically they did get fleeced value to value. I think there's no doubt about that the Pelicans made out very well. But if you're Sacramento, what are your options? You don't want to give this guy $200 million. People could say, oh, they could have waited till deadline, or they could have waited till the summer, or they could have waited till next deadline, or they could have done it last. Everyone has a when you could have done it. But if someone had come to them with a deal, an offer that knocked their socks off at any point in time in the past, they would have taken it. And the mere fact that everyone in the league knew he was available, and I'm sure everyone in the league knew what the asking price was, and if anyone had anything better to offer than what they got, then they would have taken that, or they would have made the offer and they would have taken it. So I think the Kings got what they could get. Now, you hope, you know, Buddy Hield can be something. I mean, last year, about 11 months ago, after what Buddy Hield did in the tournament, everyone thought he was going to be a really good pick. And yes, he's had an off year. He is not playing well as a rookie, but he's just a rookie, so we don't know what he's going to become. C.J. McCollum, as a rookie, was what? A DNP a lot of the time. Right? You never know what someone's going to develop into. So I don't think it was as bad as people make it out to be, given the fact that you didn't want to keep him. He's a problem. He's a headache. You didn't have better offers. And so you got to go to the bottom and just suck and hope you get some couple high lottery picks the next couple of years and then rebuild that way because you weren't winning with him anyway.
No, I agreed with that one. As we continue with Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sports Net. So let's talk about your Bulls, Taj Gibson and Dougie McBuckets to the Thunder for a campaign. Anthony Morrow, Joffrey Laverne. Payne was lottery pick 2 years ago. They're obviously unproven. And even though the Bulls are in the playoffs as we speak, I mean, they're a game under 500. Is this kind of almost a similar situation where they're just like, look, this ain't working. We need to make a move.
When I first saw it, the deal didn't have Cameron Payne in it, and I was like, what the hell? This doesn't even make remotely any kind of sense. But when Payne got into it, became listed, at least it made some sense. And so Bulls fans, of course, are freaking out. Fire everybody. We suck. I have other reasons for wanting to maybe move on from Paxson and Gar Forman besides this. But this is not one of those reasons. I think what happens is fans think fans tend to overthink what they're going to get for something. Let me tell you a famous. This is my best story ever. When I was a sports clerk at the Oregonian, I was like 22. I was answering the phones in the sports department. This is 1991 or whatever, before Shaq came out. Shaq was 92. Yep. Someone called and said the Blazers need to trade Kersey, Porter, Duckworth, and Buck Williams for Shaq. He's going to be amazing. They need to pull that deal off right now. And I'm thinking to myself, Orlando's not going to do that. My point is that fans seem to think they're going to get more than they really can get for their guys. So I look at Taj Gibson. This is the last year of his contract. You're not going to re-sign him. Because if guys like Evan Turner and Crabb are getting $18 million a year, Taj Gibson's going to get $18 million a year. You're not going to give him that. So you're going to lose him anyway. McDermott's been up and down. You get two young guys. At least you get something for basically nothing, and you move on. And so it's one of those things where you're just making a move that's a little bit better than what you would have gotten in the long run, and by just letting Taj walk. It's not earth-shattering, but fans see it and go, wait a minute, how come we didn't get Paul George? How come we didn't get Cousins? How come we didn't get this? It just doesn't work that way. But that said, I am tired of the Bulls management. They've done one thing in the last 15 years, and that was get lucky and get Derrick Rose. Other than that, they've done nothing.
I love the fan dictating the trade. We used to, early days of sports radio back in the late 80s, used to get like Yankees and Mets fans, in essence, calling in and saying, and you know, they should give them their backup second baseman, their number five starter, two middle relievers, and get Bonds.
Exactly. Everyone's got a great deal that's weighted in their favor. The end of the pull off, they're an idiot. There has to be another team willing to trade.
Oh, it's awesome. Let's get to. I guess I got to ask you back about Jay Cutler. I saw your commentary on Twitter. As a Bears fan, if he's leaving, do you do your Carlton dance, or do you just say good riddance and move along?
I don't have animosity toward Cutler, but it's time to go. He never improved. Like, I'm not Joe quarterback coach, but I know enough about quarterbacks, and I have coached quarterbacks enough to know bad mechanics where I see him. His mechanics are freaking awful, and everyone's talked about it. Steve Young's talked about it. Trent Dilfer's talked about it over the years. He never improved his mechanics. He never worked on his delivery. He never worked on anything. He was just, I have a big arm. You're going to fall in love with me because you know I could be great, but I'm never really going to be great. I'm just going to frustrate you and get every coach fired from offensive coordinators and quarterback coaches for the next 8 years. And then some tools on Twitter trying to say, oh, the Bears management was just as much as fault of Cutler. And I'm just like, nah, I suffered through this guy for 7 to 8 years. I watched virtually every game he played. His problems were on him 100%. He needs to go. But I will say this. If he goes to a place that has an A running game and an A defense, and you only let him throw the ball 25 times a game in ideal situations, he can be a good player because he won't kill you that way. But if you ask him to carry you and be a franchise guy, you're in trouble.
No, that's big trouble. Let's get to Duck Hoops, the finish last night. So
Cash Money Brooks.
Do we now need to rework the all-time clutch list and put Dylan Brooks on there with Jordan Montana and Reggie Jackson?
Hyperbole.
Whoa, but still, that what he's done this year and that shot last night, that was freaking unreal.
Yeah, that was pretty sick. I got to give it up to him. That was even sicker than the UCLA one because I think this one, the defender had more of a chance to disrupt him a little bit. And he just elevated over him and nailed it. Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive comeback all the way because they played horrible basketball in the first half. And it looked like they could never quite get over the hump. They kept they pushed it to 9 and would go back to 12 or 13. And they pushed it back to 9. And then finally they had the back-to-back threes from Pritchard, another guy who came up clutch and hit that three-point, I think, 3 minutes ago. It came after Ennis, they got
Ennis,
one.
Yeah,
and then at that point, it was anyone's ball game. And Cal self-destructed a little bit. They had some turnovers there, like, really, what are you doing? But, you know, that's a game where on one hand you can say they should never have been in trouble like that against Cal, but on some nights you just don't have it, and they do. And the fact that you can dig deep and figure out a way to pull it out is a testament to the character of your team. So I give them a lot of credit. For pulling that game out the way they did, because it seemed like they were dead and buried several times.
Yeah, a lot of people just look at their team. I don't think they understand going on the road. I don't care if you've played in the NBA or if you've played in kids sports. Sometimes you walk into a foreign gym. It could be the lighting. It could be the way your sneakers squeak. It could be the way the rim sounds. And you just
aren't... It could be that big giant bear in the middle of the court.
Yeah.
That thing was frightening, man.
I got one last thought, and I've asked this of a couple people this week. Dylan Brooks got his NBA evaluation last year, decided to come back, and it might be cliche, but his game is his game. He's not going to get bigger, faster. I think he's got a great game, and while I was way off on Royce Freeman, do you see a point to his coming back, or does what they actually do in the tournament, will that play a factor, you think?
You know, it's a big mystery. On a set of Talking Ducks basketball, whenever we talk about this, you know, I'm kind of outnumbered in terms of believing Brooks can be an NBA player. And Richard Lucas does not. I mean, he says he wouldn't be shocked if he made roster, but he doesn't see it as a lock or guarantee and thinks it's very likely he'll end up overseas. I sort of feel like he does so many things so well, and that I feel like there's players in the NBA where I'm looking at him and I'm like, those guys are not better than Dylan Brooks. I mean, take Dougie McDermott for one. Like, why isn't Brooks – I mean, all McDermott could do is shoot threes. He presents nothing else. Whereas Brooks, I think, has other skills. So I think he has a chance to stick and make a team. Now, should he come out? Again, I think it comes back to the draft grade. If people tell him, hey, you need to work on this more, work on that more, then maybe he should stay. But at this point, if he finishes in the top three for play of the year, he might even win it this year. At this point, you just got to go and just try and make your money and just see what happens. So I think he's going to be gone. I think it's going to be really fascinating to see if he makes or how long he sticks. It could be. You know, could end up being a situation where it's like Malik Harrison, where he's a second-round pick and he sticks around for 3 or 4 years and he's done. But, hey, that's, you can still make a couple $1 million doing that, right?
Yeah, start getting paid.
Exactly.
You could follow our guest on Twitter at Aaron J. Fentress, online, csnnw.com. Always look forward to it, sir. Appreciate the input, and you have a magnificent weekend.
All right, man. Take care.
Take it easy. All right, Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sportsnet.